Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will talk about the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Question: Is the religious life right for you? It may well be the most difficult discovery you'll ever have to make, and should never be done without consultation with those who are in the vocation of ordained, religious, or consecrated life. Dedicated priests, nuns, consecrated, and other religious are direly needed in the Church now more than ever. But these vocations are not for everyone, so why not spend a weekend in discernment with those who can help you discover what is God-given vocation? November 14th through the 16th, the Vocations Office will hold a Vocations Awareness Retreat locally. The registration deadline is October 17th, so the time to respond is now. There is no pressure or commitment, just time with God and time to ask questions and get answers. Call the Vocations Office at 361-882-6191. Uncertainty is confusing, but discernment brings about clarity.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, Barbara. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I find it very hard to believe that we are already in the first Sunday of October.
Yes. And it's interesting, we're having the Word of Life to introduce for October. And it's those words, "Follow me," from St. Matthew's Gospel. So we've done a little bit of following in different places where he lived and preached and died and rose. So,
well, that's great, and I'm sure that you'll be, as we go through the next couple of weeks, sharing some of those stories.
We can certainly do that,
yeah,
sure.
That would be great.
Yeah, it's, again, just to introduce this, it's a practice that began many years ago with a group that eventually came to be known as the Focolare Movement, but it certainly started with living the gospel for 6 years. This is all the young women that began this did. They just took these words and put them into practice.
And they did it on a daily basis,
They chose a word every day. But just basically, I want to encourage everyone to take that word, and we can write it down, or you can write it down if you're not driving, or you can go on our website and find it there as well. But it's very simple for this month. It's just the words, "Follow me." Right. It's from the 9th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 9th verse. So Matthew 9:9, the words, "Follow me." While he was coming from Capernaum, Jesus saw a tax collector by the name of Matthew seated at the customs post. Matthew had a job that made him despised by the people, for it placed him in the same category as loan sharks and those who took advantage of others to amass personal wealth. The scribes and Pharisees put him on the same level as the public sinners and criticized Jesus for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners and for eating together with them. Jesus, going against all social conventions, called Matthew to follow him and accepted the invitation to dine at his home, as he would later do also with Zacchaeus, the head of tax collectors in Jericho. When questioned about his behavior, Jesus responded that he had come to heal the sick, not the healthy, and to call sinners, not the religious. His invitation, also this time, was addressed directly to one of them: "Follow me." Jesus had already said these words to Andrew, Peter, James, and John on the shore of the lake. He made the same invitation, using different words, to Paul on the road to Damascus. But Jesus did not stop there. Down through the centuries, he has continued to call men and women of every culture and nation. He still does it today. He passes by in our lives. He meets us in quite different places and in different ways, and he makes us sense once again the invitation to follow him. He calls us to be with him because he wants to build a personal relationship with us. And at the same time, he invites us to collaborate with him in his great plan to create a new humanity. He does not care about our weaknesses, our sins, our limitations. He loves us and chooses us just as we are. His love will transform us and give us the strength to answer his call and the courage to follow him as Matthew did. He has a particular love for each one of us, a plan for each person's life, an individual call. We will feel it in our hearts through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through certain circumstances, or through a piece of advice given by someone who cares about us. Even if manifested in different ways, his message spells out the same words, "Follow me." I remember when I too felt a call from God. It was a very cold winter morning in Trent. My mother asked my younger sister to go and pick up some milk at a place about a mile away from home. Since it was cold, my sister did not feel like going. My other sister also refused to go. "I'll go, Mom," I said, and picked up the bottle and left the house. Halfway there, something peculiar happened. It seemed as though the skies opened and God reached down to me with an invitation to follow him. "Give all of yourself to me," I felt him saying in my heart. It was a clear call that I wanted to answer right away. I spoke with my spiritual advisor about it, and he gave me permission to give my life to God forever. It was December 7th, 1943. It is impossible to fully convey what I felt in my heart that day. I had married God. I could expect everything from him. Follow me. This phrase does not only pertain to that specific moment when we make a choice for our lives. Jesus continues to call us this very day, "Follow me." He seems to suggest to us as we face our smallest daily chores, "Follow me," in the trial that we are called to endure, in the temptation we have to overcome, in that act of service that needs to be done. How should we respond concretely? By doing what God wants from us in the present moment, which always comes accompanied by a particular grace. Our commitment this month will be, then, to do God's will with determination, dedicating ourselves fully to our brothers and sisters that we are called to love, our work, our studies, praying, resting, and all the different things we are supposed to do. Let us learn to listen to the voice of God deep within our hearts, which speaks to us also through the voice of our conscience. He will tell us what he wants from us in every moment. Our part is to be ready to sacrifice everything in order to do it. Let us love you, Lord, not only more each day, for the days that remain may be few, but let us love you in every present moment with all our hearts, soul, strength, in whatever is your will. This is the best way to follow Jesus.
Well, for a short quote to reflect on for the month, there's a huge message and a lot of work for us to do.
Wow, that is very, very true. And
two words, but they are so full of so much, well, I think, work.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, full of response. And,
right.
And I think, you know, sometimes when we've heard those words, we may think, you know, as she spoke of her own vocation there in a very simple mm-hmm. event, which, of course, turned out to be a huge influx of spirituality into the church from a young girl who really
right.
just gave her life to God. But so it's I think it's a real powerful thing to listen to her, because now
yes.
she's just referring us back. It's every day. It's follow me. It's not just a once and for all. And,
right.
But I think sometimes when we've heard those words, we do think of some big program that we're supposed to do
mm-hmm.
or certainly following Christ. But she brings it back, which we can talk about more, to the simple things of every day. It's not just a one-time, once and for all, I follow. or I want to follow, or I give myself to God. And it has to be renewed every day, because that call is constant. And it's consistent with God's will for each of our lives. And so there's a way for us to live that out each day and in every situation. And again, as we spoke about last week, if we just open our life to the Word of God and ask for the grace in each moment, in each situation, where we may not be thinking of the Word of God or follow me, but if we're open to that, the Holy Spirit works and says, in this situation, in this moment, with this member of the family, with this coworker, with it, follow me, do what I would do. Live as I would live in this moment, in your place, etc. So it's a total commitment, really, and a commitment that is, as she says, that has to be renewed every day and every moment. I remember at one point there was a referring to her, because I had met her several times, but she used to say that St. Teresa used to say, "I only have this day to love you." And mm-hmm. she says, if we really understand, maybe we could say, "I only have this moment to love you." As she said here, that we may only have this moment. We never know what this afternoon is going to bring, or tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. So to live each moment and to follow Christ in every moment of the day, responding to every situation generously with his love and his message is a way of practicing and living that follow me.
Well, and we are going to talk more about that. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back.
The 14th annual Jamaica Fest at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Alice is set for Saturday, October 11th, from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. on the parish grounds, 801 South Reynolds. You'll enjoy a variety of delicious food items, games, live music, moon jumps, obstacle courses, a silent auction, and other special activities for adults and children. Everyone is invited to come and have a great time. For more details, call the St. Joseph Parish Office, 361-664-7551.
Delicious Texas barbecue and crafts will be the order of the day on Sunday, October 12th at St. Paul the Apostle Church, 2233 Waldron Road in Flower Bluff. Beginning at 9 a.m. and continuing until 3 p.m., the parish hall will be filled with all sorts of crafts to fill your early Christmas shopping list. There'll be over 40 vendors with their wares on display. Hot dogs and hamburgers will be available for the kiddos as well, and of course, there'll be lots of entertainment. From 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., plates of delicious barbecue with all the trimmings will be available for you to enjoy. For more complete information, call the parish office, 937-3864.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, you read the Word of Life for October and the explanation of Follow Me by Matthew. There was an editorial in the Magnificat for September, which ironically enough, you know, talks about Matthew.
Right.
And how interesting it was that he was sitting there doing his tax collecting and this man walks up to him and says, "Follow me," and he gets up and follows him.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there was something that he saw in Jesus, and there was... He may not have thought he was ready to do this, but he knew that he needed a change in his life.
Yes. Well, of course, we weren't there, so we don't
right.
know how quickly he got up. But
right.
obviously, he got up. But, you know, I think there's something about when I read things like that, there's a conscience. Everybody has
right.
a conscience. And we may not be doing the best job with our life. And if we're not, maybe our conscience is bothering us a bit. So here, if we were to project that onto Matthew, mm-hmm. that he was not well-liked. In many ways, he was probably ostracized even by family, friends. And so he was probably not a happy man.
Right.
We could only project that onto him by,
right.
by our own experience, too, or refer that to him. But he had a conscience. And so Jesus, you know, we have to imagine just the look.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Son of God looking at him in the eyes. was probably known by Matthew in some ways. I mean, Matthew probably had heard of him and knew him, and here he is in front of him with a transparency, with a beauty of word and deed, and looking at Matthew and saying, I need you, follow me, follow me. And Matthew was probably in that moment of his life when he needed that, and he did so. We had a vocation meeting a couple of weeks ago with some young men, and a couple of them referred to something that someone said to them way back, you know, which sometimes we say things, or sometimes people say things to us, and they don't register until a certain moment, and then that's a graced moment, you know, when that right. that invitation or that word of that person just kind of hits home. And we see not only that it's the word of that person, but it was an instrument that God used to call us to something more. And so I think maybe in some ways that's Matthew's experience as well. And as she comments there, that Andrew and Peter and James and John, as well as Paul, also had a similar experience, right. that in the right moment, the right place, they were fishermen, but and Paul, of course, a great persecutor of the church at the time, but they felt that call and they stopped everything and followed him. It hit home to who they were and what they wanted.
Well, and in the text that you were reading, it said that Jesus meets us in different places, mm-hmm. and that is so true. It's not just in church, you know. It's the other 6 days of the week. Where we can feel his guiding hand with us, or our conscience tells us that we need to follow this way.
Yeah, well, then that's so true. I mean, our heart has to belong to him, and I like this one part in Kara Lubick's commentary here. She says that he calls us to be with him because he wants to build a personal relationship with us. And at the same time, he invites us to collaborate with him in his great plan to create a new humanity. And so, you know, certainly coming to church, being there at Mass, listening to the Word of God, receiving him, that is building up that relationship. But it's a relationship that has to continue for the rest of the week, the month, the rest of our lives, and certainly each moment of that time. And so the word, again, in this invitation, in this particular sentence, follow me, is the desire that Christ has to build a relationship with us. We always think of it that we're taking the initiative, that we're the ones that are building the relationship through our prayer and devotion, but he also wants that. And so it's as in any relationship, if it's not two-sided, it usually disintegrates.
Doesn't work, right.
So when we hear the gospel this way, we hear Jesus speaking to us, follow me. And ours is a response not only to the relationship, but as she says here, and I think very wisely, to collaborate with him in creating a new humanity. It's not enough for us to sit back and criticize the world around us, to criticize all that's wrong without us taking some responsibility ourselves. And this is what every disciple of Christ, every believer in God, has a responsibility to do something, to live a certain way in order to create a new humanity, a more just society that surrounds us. The other thing I think that's that struck me here in her commentary was that he doesn't care about our weaknesses, our sins, our limitations. I mean, we can use these to say, well, to excuse ourselves.
Right.
You know, well, I'm not being called because, you know, I don't have the high-level education, or I don't speak well, or I just don't like to get involved, or, you know, whatever. And we all have.
I'm
not the perfect person. All those things are our excuses. But if he chose Matthew, if he chose Paul, if he chose Peter, who throughout the gospel, of course, we know denied him, left him, etc., all those weaknesses and sins, he chose them as they are, so that his strength, and perhaps their better choices, because they're not relying on their own strengths and powers, but upon him's. And as she says, his love will transform us and give us the strength to answer his call and the courage to follow him as Matthew did. So when we put all those excuses in front of ourselves and in front of others, why we should not respond, it's those very weaknesses that he wants to use so that he can give us his grace, his strength to, and the courage to follow as Matthew did.
Well, and she said also, his love will transform us.
Right.
Which is a pretty powerful statement, I think.
But you know, that's really a phrase or a sentence, or a word, I'm sorry, that was used in the early church, in the early life of spirituality, that it's a transforming grace. It makes us more like Christ each time if we are incorporating these words into our life. If they're becoming part of us, they've got to transform us. They've got to change us. It's only our own resistance to the word. It's our not giving of ourselves that holds us back. And that leads to the next point that she brings up here in the commentary, that the reason the Lord calls us is because there's a plan for us in each of our lives, and a mysterious plan that none of us knows. And it could be the simplest of plans, but it's part of the plan. It's part of the picture. I used last year the image of a mosaic, that each one of us is a tile in that mosaic. And if the tile is missing, the picture is not complete. And so if we understood, you know, the dignity of each person, every person, that everyone has a plan on their life from God, because we're created by God through the love of our parents, and part of that new creation is that we fit into the overall plan of Almighty God. And so we, you know, to try to analyze it without being a part of it, we'll never understand it. I mean, I think it's like, you know, if you want to make an analogy with of playing ball or something, unless you get into the game, you never understand it.
Right.
You've got to jump in. Mm-hmm. And so to say, well, I'm not being called, or I'm too weak, and all these excuses that we make, we'll never discover the plan that God has on our life. It's like a divine adventure, but you got to jump in the game. You got to jump into the road of discipleship, the road of following Christ every day in order to truly understand it.
Well, and the plan that God has for us, I can speak for myself personally. Sometimes you don't realize it until you've jumped in and all of a sudden things have occurred and you start to look back and think, wow, there was a reason that this happened.
Right.
This was part of the plan. Sure. And I think that self-awareness, at least as I say for myself personally, you think, wow, there was a plan. And then you just keep on hoping that you're following through on whatever plan he has for you next.
Right. Right. And, it's, you know, something, as you've said, it's not something you feel every day. I mean, every moment, every situation. But every once in a while, because we are trying to respond daily and every moment, that even in the little things, we begin to have that moment, for this, I was called here today for this. And it may not be the reason I went to go to a meeting or something, but maybe I met someone who just needed to say something or hear something. And totally apart from the reason, the motivation for me going to, let's just use the example of meeting, but it was to see that person who I didn't even know was there.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the voice that might be in our conscience of don't want to go to the meeting, don't want to go to the meeting. There's that other voice that says, you need
to go.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think even here, when she's talking toward the end of the commentary here, is this follow me can be a part of, is what motivates our daily chores, as she says here. You know, when we go to work, follow me. When we go and we're supposed to study, follow me. Or we're praying, we're going to Mass, follow me. Or we have to rest. I mean, that's a part of our life, too. We need to rest. Follow me. Do we give ourselves to that moment of rest in a true sense? All the things that we're supposed to do to live a healthy, balanced life, exercise, something that I a little guilty of sometimes, but to remind myself that is follow me. Because if you're not healthy, then you're not able to do my will, et cetera, et cetera.
Getting up in the morning and taking a walk and looking and seeing a glorious sunrise.
Right, exactly. Maybe the last thing you want to do, follow me.
Right, you're getting up in the dark, gift. But all of a sudden the gift is that glorious sunrise.
So our daily chores, the temptations that we have to overcome, the service that needs to be done, it's all a part of that follow me. And so during this month, I would really encourage all of us just to, almost like a little song in our minds, just keep repeating those words, and let's just live this month, follow me, follow me.
Yeah, and we'll be reflecting back on that over the next couple of weeks.
Great.
So thank you, Bishop, and if you could say a closing prayer and a blessing for us.
Lord Jesus, you have called us to follow you. During this month of October, may we follow you as your early disciples did with love and dedication. And may all that we do be an expression of your will for us and our desire to follow you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this October morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.